I'm very excited about our brand new series today, Teachology, How to Live Beyond Your Life. Partly because I think one of the grand mistakes we have made in the American church is that we think that we have only but a few teachers. The truth of the matter is, we're all teachers. Some of us are called to be teachers. This is our professional life. And I think it is egregious, that in our culture we so undervalue teachers. Teachers are the creators of our future. And those who have the courage to teach are those who form our future. The truth of the matter is, in all of life, you are today where your past actions or inactions have brought you. You weigh today what you weigh because of what you on purpose have eaten. I have never accidentally eaten a chocolate cake. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let's be honest. I tweeted that this morning and somebody sent back and says, well, what about old people because the government keeps them down? That guy's an idiot. I'd like to find and tweet him back, but I've got better things to do. I truly believe that being a follower of Jesus Christ makes me proactive. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. If you don't mind, I'll continue here. So I want to, in these next 4 weeks together, enlist you in this idea of teaching. Jesus, I mean, think of this. 2,000 years ago, Jesus gathered around him the disciples. Now, these were not like the ancient version of Captain America. They're more like the modern version of Barney Fife. These were not connected, educated people. These were raw, bone, hard-working, big-fisted men. These were ordinary, everyday people. They were not of the elite, but they listened to Jesus in this last moment, and he gave them their marching orders. Listen to this. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, right? Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely in this endeavor, I will always be with you to the very end of the age. Jesus asked Peter once, who do men say that I am? And Peter finally confesses, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, upon this foundation, upon that confession, I will build my church. There are three core questions that all of us, Christ followers or not, ask of ourselves all the time. One, why am I here? Why am I here at this moment, at this time? There's an account where a blind guy comes to Jesus, and the beautiful simplicity of their conversation is recorded for us in Mark 10. What do you want me to do for you? I mean, here's a blind guy. Jesus, really? Do you not understand? What do I want? He wasn't going to say, you know what? I need a cabin overlooking a lake I can't see. I need a car I can't drive. How insightful. And he says, I want to see. Go, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and his spiritual sight, because what did he do? He began to follow Jesus. And so sometimes when I read this, I often say, Lord, I can see, right? I can see, but really help me see, right? Beyond just the immediate. Sometimes I look at my world and I hear so much. I mean, anybody here bathed in bad news? I mean, I was watching just a little bit yesterday. I asked God to forgive me, so if I die today, I won't go to hell. I was watching CNN for a little while and they were debating the new unemployment numbers. 9.2%. And of course, the president is to blame. We want somebody to blame, right? It makes our lives so much better if we know who we don't like. Makes the economy better. We can just excuse her. We're miserable. Life is miserable. It's hell here, but at least we know who to blame. Thank you, Jesus. Why am I here? I am here to engage culture, to engage the world as it is, to lead it, to teach it so it can become what it was meant to be. Right? This is why. So I can see, and then when I see, I can help other people see. This is the heart of a teacher. A teacher is like someone who's discovered a new cream pie that is so good that they can't stand and not tell somebody else. Here's this pie. It's so good. You got to have some. It's so good. You discover something so awesome you can't keep it. Have you ever had a moment like that where you found, whether it was a computer or a car or a thing or a something, and it was so awesome you just had to tell people, or a great movie or a piece of music or something? Anyone? Yeah, that's when you do that, then you've got the heart of a teacher. Why am I here? I'm here to be a teacher, to make a difference. Listen, Jesus told the disciples, go in all the world and teach them. 2,000 years ago, 1 billion Christians spending on this planet right now. They did pretty doggone good, didn't they? Maybe God knew exactly what he was doing. Why am I here? The Westminster Confession, one of the great Protestant confessions, says that the chief aim of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. If I were writing the Westminster Confession, and I'm not, I would rewrite it to say that the chief aim of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. And letting that joy bubble up in our hearts so much that we share this with people, that we teach them the truth, not just our opinion, right? You see, it's in the doing that hearing becomes learning. The scripture is filled with admonitions and warnings to not just listen to the truth and not practice it, to put it into practice. Hearers and doers. The second core question is, not why am I here, but what should I be doing? Wish I had a dollar for every time people have asked me over the years, what should I do with the rest of my life? If I could just knew God's will, I would do it. And I respectfully say, nah, maybe not so much. Because more important than the question of what should I be doing is what should I be doing right now? Today. See, today is the day the Lord has made, right? Today is called the present for a reason. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Yesterday's a canceled check. Right now, today, the things that you do today create tomorrow. Are you with me? So today, we got to do the dance. We got to dance in the dragon's jaw today. We got to live in this dirty, nasty, uncontrollable, unpredictable world under the lordship of Christ today. What should I be doing? I know one thing, every single day of the rest of my life, I should be teaching someone something. Then the question is, how will I be remembered? The older I get, the more I begin to ask that question. Will my children remember me? I have conducted, I wish I'd counted, but over 4 decades, I've buried a lot of people. And here's one thing that is distinct in my mind. There are some people who leave behind memories of pain, anger, and disappointment. You see it in the grieving family's faces. Then there are some whose funerals, forgive me for being vulgar, there are some whose funerals are more like parties. Because they have lived so well and so richly, they have left so much behind for their families to build on, that we're not really too sad they're gone. I know it sounds weird, doesn't it? I mean, let's be honest. You want to live, live well, and then leave, right? Because I'll tell you what, when this old body begins to fail and you can't chew and you can't run, you can't smell, you can't see, it's time to die. Can I hear an amen? Trust me. How will I be remembered? I love what the great theologian Albert Einstein said. Our death is not an end if we can live on in our children and the younger generation. For they are us. Our bodies are only wilted leaves on the tree of life. I would love to think that my children, my family, when they think of me, when I'm done, can think of the things not only that I've done for them, but the truth that I've left them with. The foundation that I've been able to hand off to them. Here is what I want to drive in your brain over these next 4 weeks. I live, I learn. Yay, God. I live, I learn. This is the gift from God. It's not that I live and I'm bored. I live, I learn. I love going to school. I loved going to school because it's about learning and discovering and the exciting. I mean, learning Greek was hard, but it was exciting to see the richness of God's word and the texture and how these words meant so much. Learning theology, learning history. Do you love learning? Some people say, well, you know what? I don't read books and stuff like that. It just, I ain't into that. Can I just tell you something, Bubba? You don't have to tell nobody you don't read. We all know. Can I hear an amen? I ain't read a book in 5 years. Well, we understand. Trust me. I live, I learn. I learn, I teach. I teach, I live forever. I live, I learn. Say it with me. I live, I learn. I learn, I teach. I learn, I teach. I teach, I live forever. I live, I learn. I learn, I teach. I teach, I live forever. There you go. This is the gift from God. When we say, oh God, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to learn about God and then teach others so that they can have a solid foundation and live life with God. Now here's, I think, the challenge for most of us. We don't understand, what is teaching? Well, teaching, first of all, is not telling. Right? Blind guides who strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. What an image Jesus teaches. I mean, some people who are so fixated on their little doctrinal minutiae, on their little thing, that they strain at a gnat. You know how small a gnat is? But you also know how worrisome they are? They can drive you nuts. They're worse than a bad mother-in-law on a Thursday. Swallowing a gnat, I mean, straining a gnat, swallow a camel. What an image. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of extortion and self-indulgence. How many of you know that if you don't want your kids to smoke, you shouldn't smoke? If you don't want your kids to be angry and self-indulgent, guess what? You can't be angry and self-indulgent. If you want your children to be generous, guess what? You got to be generous. Hello? They will do what they see you do. You're a teacher whether you like it or not. Teaching is not yelling. Oh, I'll save my teaching. Just not. I'm screwed, right? So, sorry. When you love to be my wife in a conversation, she says, you're yelling. I said, no, I'm not. I'm interested. But you know what I mean? You know, I look at some preachers and think, I'm excited, but I think some of these people are mad. Have you ever gone to church and say, what's he upset about? She's upset. Hey, bang, bang, praise God, praise God, praise God. God's already praised. Shut up. Tell me another thing. What's the deal? You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You know, this yelling, this hypocritical kind of forcing their morality on people. That's not teaching. I tell you what else teaching is not. It's not selling. Now, I understand that selling is not a bad thing. Matter of fact, all of us in this room, to some degree, are connected to selling. If you don't sell your services or your products, then you don't have a business, right? You have a charity. You have a hobby. So I'm not selling is a good thing. But you know what? I don't want to be sold. People who call me at night on their time and my inconvenience to sell me stuff. I'm from the Tennessean. Shut up! I'm never going to take the Tennessean! Ever! I've got my reasons. Used cars. He's like a used car salesman. What are we saying? What we're saying is that people are trying to take advantage of us. That's what we feel. And your teaching is not, as a teacher, you're not trying to obligate someone to do you a favor. You're doing them a favor by helping them learn something that will benefit their life. Now show me how what you do benefits me, then I'm listening. So go back again to what we call the Great Commission. Go into all the world, make disciples, teach them to obey. We're here today because a lot of people got that right. I mean, I'll talk about this next week as teachers, as truth seekers, but a lot of the major universities in our country and around the world have been started by Christians, right? You know that. Vanderbilt, started by Christians. So we've always understood the priority and the place of teaching. So the question I like is, as I survey the landscape today, how are we doing today as teachers? Not just teachers about life, but teachers about God, because we have a perspective, right? We have this perspective. God created us. God created us good. God created life good. We fail. Christ has redeemed us. We are now right with God. We have a mission to help save the world by pointing them to the good news of Jesus Christ. We believe that everyone needs to be a follower of Jesus Christ, whether you're a Christian or not. Right? If anybody ever asks you, are you a Christian? You want to go, I'm a Baptist. That feels better, doesn't it? Because at least there are a lot of weird people called Baptists. What are you? I was raised a Methodist. Because Christian in our culture has been hijacked. It has been hijacked to mean some political statement. If you're a Christian in the South, you are a Republican conservative. That'll make you puke. So what is the state of the art of the challenge and the commission we've been given? In America, it seems to me, if you just were to survey the larger population in America, Christians are basically seen as irrelevant. This is not relevant to my life. Right? We go to church and we talk about things that people don't talk about every day. How to be sanctified in 5 steps. I don't even know what that means. Does it hurt? Is there a knife involved? If Christ is the hope of the world, how should we then live? Ephesians 5 says this, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. What is the Lord's will? The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus, God wants everyone to know the Savior Jesus Christ and his life-giving, redemptive love. Amen? Everybody. Not everybody needs to be a Christian. Not everybody needs to be like me. Not everybody needs to be like you. We don't all need to vote alike. We don't all need to go to the same movies. We don't all have to like the same music. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But Jesus Christ is core, central, and essential. Now, as a teacher, I owe you that. As a student, then you have to accept it or not. We're also seen not just as irrelevant, but let's be honest, okay? We're among friends, hopefully. We're seen as just plain weird. And here's what's happened. A lot of really mean, mad, messed up people have hijacked Christianity and given us all a bad name. Weird. For example, these people who picket the funerals of fallen soldiers. You've heard this, right? These people aren't Christians. They're weird. They're weird, mean, messed up religious people. What's new? Religion makes people mean. Hear me now, believe me later. Don't ever get under the ire of some really hacked off person in the name of God. Oh, thank you, Lord. I've known the ire of some mad religious people, and it is not fun. We sing, and even those of us who are trying to be, you know, religiously palatable, sometimes engage in weird stuff. For example, the songs we sing are weird. I was a little counter. This is my mom not here to defend herself, but trust me, I'm telling the truth. Lord, mama, telling the truth. We're sitting in church one day, and they sing this song, "Here I raise my Ebenezer." I'm courteous. I'll wait till church is over. And I say, "Mama, what's an Ebenezer?" And you know what my mama said? Now, she's a good Baptist now. Don't say nothing about my mama. She says, "Honey, I don't know, but if it was bad, they wouldn't have us singing it." I don't know, but that just didn't satisfy me very much. God bless mama. You got to love your mama, right? It was later that I learned that Ebenezer is a beautiful truth. It's from the Old Testament. It's a memorial that's raised to help people remember what God had done for them at that point in history. It's a teaching tool. Hello? It made perfect sense when I understood what it was. I just wanted somebody to, "What's an Ebenezer?" Then we sing songs like, "Angels prostrate fall." Now, when you're a kid, that doesn't sound good. Angels prostrate fall? I thought this was heaven. We need a medical plan in heaven. I'll be honest, I love these songs. I'm not criticizing them. "Nothing but the blood." Ew, blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. "What can wash away my sins?" "Nothing but the blood of Jesus can make me whole again." "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Well, is that true? Yes, but it requires a little explanation. All the preaching I heard growing up assumed I had more information than I did. "Jesus shed his blood." Oh, poor Jesus. Well, really? He hung on the cross. Oh, so don't you have sorry for all the preaching. Again, I know I'm weird. It's my fault. But I just felt sorry. Poor Jesus hanging on the cross, shedding his blood. Somebody will love him or just feel sympathy for him. Really? See, I mean, no, I know that we are being blasphemous. No, I'm not. I'm being truthful. But when I understood why Jesus hung on that cross and why his blood was royal, that he was virgin born, that all of these things have meaning to them, and when you understand them, they will set you free. Oh, this is good stuff. We got good stuff. We don't use it, but we got good stuff. I mean, to know this stuff, to love this stuff, to lean into this stuff is, oh, yay, God. Here's another thing we are. I hate to just even mention it, just gloss over it, but I got to be truthful. We're fragmented. You would just think that if you were to say, I'm a Christian, that'd be enough, wouldn't it? Oh, no. I'm a born-again Christian. Born again. That's like saying wet water, isn't it? Or my favorite, I'm a spirit-filled Christian. Really? What does that make you do? Speak in tongues? Well, get away from me. Now, I'm not doubting anyone who speaks in tongues, but I, for some reason, I can't. I'm sincere. I've tried. What's wrong with me? You say, well, you're making... No, I'm not making... Some people... I know people who I trust their word. Speaking in tongues is real. Okay, I'm fine with that. But if you use speaking in tongues to say you're superior than me, I got a big time problem with that, Bubba. We're so freaking fragmented in Christian America, no wonder no one wants to listen to us. Baptists can't even get along. I mean, Baptists... They should be able to get along with anybody. They have nothing to brag about. They should be able to get along with everyone. I mean, it's just true. I didn't know this. I was going to a Baptist seminary. They're Baptist. You talk about baptism. They argue over who baptizes who, when, where, and how much water hits you at what position. Deliver me. I don't know, will baptism get me into heaven? No, next point. Teach me something that will save my soul. Then we'll do the peripherals later. Can I hear an amen? Now, is baptism important? Yes. In its context, it's a beautiful symbol of what it means to be in Christ. It's a gorgeous thing. You want to be baptized. It's a privilege to be baptized. You don't understand, I'm not downing any of our theological convictions, but I'm just saying, listen, here's the deal. If you belong to Jesus, I'm okay with you. As a matter of fact, I'm okay with you whether you belong to Jesus or not, but if you're unto Jesus, man, you're my brother. Now, we have church membership in order to stabilize our fragmentation. Praise the Lord. In Nashville, for example, if someone were to ask you, are you a Christian? What will we say? I go to Brentwood Baptist. Well, there are no Christians at Brentwood Baptist, so why would you be going? Then we have church membership, right? Church membership, the commitment we make but never intend to keep. So if you join the church and you don't and you go astray, then we're going to come after you. The Christian mafia. And we're going to track you down. Let's say you get a divorce. We're going to come after you, bring you in front of the church, and shoot you down right at the moment when you need us most. Praise the Lord. Really? Really? There's one thing, Jesus prayed one thing for us, and we're never going to give it to him. My prayer is not for them alone, but for those who believe in my message at the gathering on July 10th, 2011, that they may be one. Amen? Now, you know I'm kidding about Brentwood Baptist. Mike Glenn's one of my best friends, and they loved Jesus. And I think you ought to go to Brentwood Baptist if you have ties you need to wear in public. Come on, Mike, I dare you. I mean, People's Church, Brentwood Baptist, I mean, Christ Church, I mean, I don't care. I mean, if they're into Jesus, I'm one of them. Amen? No, I don't know if they accept me. Great. If they don't, tough. I'm still related. Instead of fragmenting, what we ought to understand is we have so much more that bring us together than tear us apart. Are you with me? And if you are a Christian, you ought to worship God, have a community that you're committed to. And if it's the gathering, I say, yay, God. And if the gathering doesn't meet your needs, then if you need for 3 months or 6 months, go over to a boring Baptist church like Brentwood Baptist, go. It just feels good. I don't know why. There are three approaches that we Christians in the state we're in right now have taken to culture as teachers. We've rebelled against it, right? And so good Christians with good Christian reasoning have motivated, inspired people to put guns in their hands and shoot abortion doctors. And that is, in God's name, murder. It was murder today, it'll be murder tomorrow, and yay God, it'll be murder every day into eternity. That is wrong. And it's not the way we occupy our space. Are you listening to me? Why is it that we don't understand more than anyone else on the planet that we live in a fallen world? And bad things happen. People do bad things. And the response to them doing bad things is not us doing worse things and tacking God's name onto it. Thank you, I needed that. We can withdraw from it. That was the early influence in my Christian walk. Culture is bad, so just withdraw. Don't go to movies. You'll go to hell if you go to movies. If you worship in a movie theater, you're already there. So within Christianity in America, there's been this anti-education movement. Don't go to university because university will teach you the truth. And once you learn the truth, you won't love Jesus anymore. Well, if that's true, then let's don't love Jesus anymore. I'm all for that. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth should turn you into a weird, messed up, mad religious person. Right? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Yeah. So we fear it, we condemn it, we rebel against it, we withdraw from it. Or we can do what a teacher does when he or she teaches. We can make better culture. Ah! Ha ha ha! Listen, you cannot, I cannot, we will never change culture. We can displace bad culture with better culture. And that's the challenge. That's why teachers are culture makers. They create the future. Listen to this, Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Here it is. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works. Good works. So we're to make better culture with our good works, right? How about this, Romans 2? This will blow your gourd. Do not be overcome by evil. Is there such thing as an evil? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Evil has no reasons other than to be. How do we resist evil, the blackness, the darkness, prostitution, child pornography, hate, anger, murder, rape, drug abuse, all of that stuff? How do we come against it? With bigger guns? Bigger legislation? No. Overcome evil with... There you go. But how do we feel? Anemic? Unimportant? Insignificant? And yet God has put in us the charge to make better culture. Right? What do you mean? Make a better marriage. You want to change the world? Let's make a better marriage. How about you and I? How about me as a husband? Love my wife as Christ loved the church. Build her up. Make her healthy. Allow her to develop and become everything her God-given gifts can help her to be. and her be so in love with me that she helped me do the same. And we have marriages that rise to the top. We raise great kids who love God and love to be alive. And they raise great kids. And they raise great kids. And they raise great kids. You know what they call that? Better culture. Better culture. Better culture. Better culture. How about we write better books? You don't like the trash that's being written now? Write a better book, Bubba. Better yet, read one first, then write one. This is why I thank God every day that I get to live in Nashville, Tennessee, one of the greatest creators of the greatest music the planet has ever heard. Amen? We've got creators and creatives here. We've got men and women who feel called to write great music that inspire people and move people and make better culture. Amen? And a lot of Christians out there writing great music. Great country music, great rock music, great hip hop, no, great music. Great art, great literature. Let's make better culture. The English philosopher Edmund Burke said this famous quote, you've heard it before, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. We need you. We need you in the game. Do you hear me? We need your voice. We need your heart. We need your creativity. We need your spirit. We need better culture. Amen? And we're not going to get it by screaming at it. We're not going to get it by cussing at Obama and all the other people we don't like. We're not. We're going to have to make better culture. We're going to have to lead the way. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would take away the spirit of fear and doubt, that you would not allow all of the influences in our evil world to crowd out the truth that we are the light of the world, that our good can overcome evil. There is something we can do. We can make better culture, better marriages, better families, better kids, better businesses, better art. I pray that out of this place, you will raise up mighty, strong leaders, teachers with a heart for God and a love for people and a passion for life. In Jesus' name, make it so. And all God's people said, amen.